Hare Krishna, I welcome everybody to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Kirtida Sundari Mataji to enlighten us on topic Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela chapter 57 onwards. Hare Krishna Kirtida Sundari Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Guru Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you so much Mataji for your valuable time and association. We are very fortunate to have you on the call Mataji. Please take over. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much Vinita Gandharvika Mataji for the beautiful chanting as always, morning as well as good morning, and warmly welcoming everybody in your very, very sweet voice. So thank you so much, I really appreciate it. And thank you everyone who joined us for this mid morning session. So we will start. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Ganga Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Ganga Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Ganga Bhakta Vrinda. So we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, Chapter 25, entitled The Residents of Varanasi Become Vaishnavite. And today we'll start with text number 57. Tarako Prishtishta Shrutayo Vibhinna Nasa Vrishriyasya Matam Nabhinnam Dharmasya Tatyam Nihitam Guhyam Mahajano Yena Gata Satanta. Translation. My arguments are inconclusive. A great personality whose opinion does not differ from others is not considered a great sage. Simply by studying the Vedas, which are variegated, one cannot come to the right path by which religious principles are understood. The solid truth of religious principles is hidden in the heart of an unadulterated, self-realized person. Consequently, as the Shastras confirm, one should accept whatever progressive path the Mahajans advocate. Purpose, this is the word spoken by Yudhishthira Maharaj in the Mahabharata, 1 Parva, 3.13.117. Om Ajnanatimrandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yen Tasmai Shri Guru Venma Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yen Abhikale Swayam Rupa Kadamaya Gadati Swa Padantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Abhikale Shri Mate Bhakti Chari Swami Niti Namine Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Abhikale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Sucharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschaka Deshakarini Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gauri Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna everybody, thank you so much for joining. And I request you to please shower your heartfelt prayers and blessings so the white words can glorify Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita and of course purify my own self, and I'm able to deliver the right message that Kaviraj Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita wants to convey to our dear Srila Prabhupada with his beautiful purpose. So we are in the context, just to see the context where we are. The chapter entitled is The Residents of Varanasi Become Vaishnava. So we know that how Prakashananda Saraswati, who was the leader at that time of the Mayavadi philosophy, he basically was so much touched by the philosophy, the sutra, the conclusion that Mahaprabhu gave, and so finally he became Vaishnava. Now he is glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So yesterday was such a beautiful class by His Grace Kamala Lachan Prabhu, where you dive deep into the six philosophies that are there, like the Mimamsaka philosophy, Nyaya philosophy, and then we have Vaisheshika, then atheistic Sankhya philosophy, which was propounded by Kapila, and then Patanjali. So and so forth, that he went on explaining that how the different philosophies and the philosophers are. But then, what is the conclusion of all that? What is the need? Because Kaviraj Goswami says that yes, there are different philosophies and there are different philosophers, but none of them really care who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is. Basically, he is the cause of all causes. But all these philosophers hardly care for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what is the use of studying all these six philosophical theories which have been propounded by so big philosophers when they cannot reach the absolute truth? So what is the use of studying all those philosophies? Then how are we going to accept the Supreme Truth if we don't follow these authorities, if we don't follow these philosophies? Then how are we going to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So there, Kaviraj Goswami quotes this very beautiful verse. Tarkva pratishtha shrutayo vibhinnam nasa vishir yasya matam nabhinnam dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhyam mahajano yena gata chakantam. So this verse is actually spoken by Yudhishthira Maharaj, but Arabiyashila Prabhupada has quoted this verse so many times, whenever he used to give classes. And whenever this question comes up of this philosophical conclusion, you know, he often quotes this verse. So we'll dive deep into this verse and see what does it really mean. And then we'll move forward as per the time permits. So it says, tarko apratishtha. Tarko, what is the meaning of tarka? Tarka means, like we do tarka vitarka, right? In Sanskrit we say tarka vitarka. It's simply argument. One person will say something, another person will counter us. And then another person will counter that person, and then it goes on and on. A kind of a debate, you can say, right? But it's not a healthy debate. It's a tarka means it's simply a dry argument. That's what Prabhupada translates. Apratishtha. Why? Because they are not fixed. Pratishtha means fixed. Apratishtha means they are not fixed. They are not even fixed in their argument. They are just doing some mental speculation when some other counter question comes up. Okay? This is how they do a kind of a debate. So that's why this kind of debate is not a healthy debate. So tarka apratishtha. Shrutayo vibhinna. So Prabhupada is mentioning that just by doing this tarkvitar, just by having this kind of debate, just by having this kind of dry argument, you really cannot reach the conclusion that is to reach the below the absolute, the Supreme Personality of God. Actually, to understand Lord, one has to understand the relationship with God. If we don't have the relationship, the sambandha with the Supreme Personality of God, then we cannot understand Him. Because it's not something dry mental speculation through which we want to understand. It is not possible. Right? God is not that cheap that one can understand the Supreme Lord just by mental speculation. That cannot happen. So therefore, Prabhupada is saying, Kaviraj Goswami in this Chaitanya Charitamrita is mentioning that tarko apratishtha, just by dry argument, which is not even fixed, that you cannot understand the Supreme Personality of God. You cannot reach the right conclusion. Then shrutayo vibhinna. What is shrutayo? Shrutayo means they are the Shruti Shastra, right? Like the Vedas. Vibhinna. Even the Vedas, they also have some different departments. So just, you know, by reading those scriptures or reading those Vedas, still you cannot come on to the right conclusion. See, through argument, yes, you cannot. Why? Because you may be a good arguer, but then another arguer may come and defeat you by his own argument. So simply by argument, it's not possible to come to the right conclusion. Then what about these scriptures, these Vedas? They are Shrutayo Vibhinna. They are also different, right? There are four Vedas we know, and there are many colorings also that. So just by studying all these books at home, it is not possible to understand the Lord. Na sava rishir yasya matam na bhinnam. Neither na asya means neither you can come to the right conclusion by just following the philosophers who have propounded these different philosophies. Why? Because matam, their intelligence, their conclusions are bhinnam. Right? They have different conclusions. So just by following these philosophers, you cannot come to the right conclusion. So how can you take the conclusion then? Then the question can be asked. If we cannot do by argument, we cannot just go on, know the Supreme Personality of Godhead by just reading the different Vedas, neither by following all these followers, because they themselves don't stick to a point. They have different opinions altogether. So how can we reach the right conclusion? Then dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhyam. They say actually this purport, the purport of this religion, dharmasya, the religious principles, tattvam, the truth of these religious principles, they are placed, nihitam, situated, and guhyam. Guhyam means very confidentially. Where they are placed? They are placed in the heart of a realized person. So the conclusion of the dharma, the religious principles, the truth of the religious principle is very confidentially placed in the heart of the pure devotees, in the heart of the self-realized person. And therefore, it says, Mahajanavena Gataha Sabbanta. That just by following the great authorities who know this absolute truth, who are self-realized, by following them means following into their footsteps, by accepting their instructions. If we do that, then definitely we can reach to the right conclusion of all these Shruti Smriti Shastras. Right? Then we can come to the right conclusion. Mahajanayena Gataha Sapanta. They themselves are following this unadulterated path, this pure path. So just by following these self-realized predecessors in the way they are doing it, if we do it, then yes, we can reach the right conclusion. So the answer comes in the last line. Mahajanayena Gataha Panka. So just by following all these different dry philosophies and following those philosophers who themselves are not situated, right? They themselves are not situated in the right conclusion. They are apratishtha. They are not fixed. Then you cannot reach the right conclusion. So just by following the Mahajan, then yes, you can know the right conclusion. Now the question comes, who are the Mahajans? We know that in the sixth canto, it describes Swayambhur Narada Shambhu, Kumara Kapila Muni, Pranada Janako Bhishma, Balur Vyasisar Vayam, Lord Brahma, Bhagavan Narada, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Kapila, who is the son of Devaki, the theistic Kapila, not the atheistic Kapila, but the Kapila who is the son of Devaki and Khadama Muni, then Swayambhur Manu, then Prahlad Maharaj, then Janak Maharaj, then Bhishma, then Bali Maharaj, Sukhdev Goswami, and I myself. Actually, this word is spoken by Yamaraj. So he's referring to himself. That even I myself are the real knower of the religious principles. So we are the ones who are considered as Mahajans. So one who follow these Mahajans and refer to the Shastras, which is the right source of knowledge, then yes, you can get the real, the right conclusion of all the Vedas. So the rules and regulations that are laid in the Vedas, they are basically known as the Shastra Vidhi. So we all know that Bhagavad Gita states that one who does not accept the Shastra Vidhi or the rules and regulations, then what happens? And they simply act in their whimsically way, then what happens? They can never achieve the perfection of life. Neither they can achieve the happiness, God became into liberation. And that's the famous verse from 16th chapter, 23rd verse, where it says, Yah Shastra Vidhin Utsvajaya, means anyone who defies the rules and regulations of the Shastras. Utsvajaya means who gives up, that I'm today onwards, I'm not going to follow the rules and regulations of the scriptures. Such a person, what does he do? He vartate, he just remains in kama karta. Yes, he acts, but he acts whimsically, just on the lust that he possesses in his heart, karma that he has, he acts according to that lust. Why? Because he defies all the rules of the Vedic literature. And then what Krishna is saying, what happened to such person? Nasa siddhim apnoti. He doesn't achieve. What he doesn't achieve? He can never achieve the siddhi, the perfection. What to talk about siddhi? Na sukham. Neither he can attain the happiness. So he cannot attain the happiness. He cannot attain the perfection. And na param gatim. Param gatim means the supreme abode. Right? So gatim actually means that to understand the aim of life. Right? So he doesn't achieve that right aim of life. So that param gatim, that highest perfectional stage. And what is the aim of life? Is to get the pure love of Godhead, to go back home, back to Godhead, to achieve the abode of Lord Shri Krishna. So that person who defies the rules of these Vedic literatures, who doesn't apply these rules of Shastras in one's own life, and just whimsically act on lust, then such a person cannot achieve happiness, cannot achieve liberation, and cannot achieve my supreme abode. That's what he says. So, I'll just say a few lines from the Prabhupada's purport, where he says that if one does not follow them and acts principally according to his own lust, greed, and desire, then he will never be perfect in his life. In other words, a man theoretically knows all these things, but he does not apply them in his own life, then he is to be known as the lowest of mankind. So this is the basic line, you know, that I read from the purport of Srila Prabhupada. Why? Because Prabhupada simply says that to do some prachar, to do some preaching, you have to have some achar. Means you have to yourself follow these rules and regulations. Only then your preaching will hold some value. Otherwise, if you yourself are not fixed in your devotion, then you cannot preach. Even if you preach, then it will not have any value. It will not have any effect on other person's heart. So therefore, it is very important that whatever we preach, first we should practice. So that's why he says that if one does not apply those rules of Shastras in his own life, then he is known to be the lowest of mankind. That is what Prabhupada mentions. And we all know there is another famous verse from Bhagavad Gita. It is from chapter 3, verse number 21. Yat yat acharati shesa tat tat eva taro janah sayat paramam kurute lokas tat anuvartate. Here it says that whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standards he set up by his exemplary acts, all the world pursues. So see how important it is that being a leader, one should perform such acts that the other men follow. So you have to be exemplary in your dealings. If you are a leader, there is a big if. If you are into any kind of leading position, that then yes, you have to follow, you have to be exemplary so that you can set up an example for others. Because others will definitely follow the leaders. That's how it works. Right? People in general, they follow the leader whom they consider as their role model because that's the practical behavior. So it's just how they follow, then they can teach. Right? So here, now who is a leader? So Mahaprabhu says actually that a teacher should behave properly before he begins teaching. And one who teaches in that way, one who follows his achar and prachar, then only he is known as Acharya, who is the real teacher, like our dear Srila Prabhupada, like our Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And go on, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So we can go on and on, the list is endless. Why? Because now we are in a disciplic succession. They are following whatever they have learned from their predecessor Acharya. So they are following. And when they are following, they are becoming the right examples for people like us to follow. Right? So similarly, when we follow all these, they are known as Acharya. But here, we have to understand that yes, we cannot become an Acharya. But being a leader, what to talk about a leader? Being a parent, being a father, being a mother, we have set an example in our children. So in that case, yes, for them, we are the leaders. And if we are the leaders, then yes, we have to be exemplary in our acts. Because kids will follow whatever they see. As we all know, the kids don't follow what you teach them. They don't listen, right? But they listen to what they see. Through their ears, they'll follow, right? Through their ears, but when they see through their eyes, whatever they see, they'll imitate. That's how the kids are. No matter you may say, oh no, you should do this, you can bring a long list. But if we are not following, if they are not seeing us to follow the same list, no matter we may say 1,000 times, they'll not do it. But if they see it, then yes. That's why it says that our action speaks louder than our words. No matter we can say 1,000 times, they'll not follow. But when they see us following those things, then yes. Simple example. When we go, and when the kids are young, right? And when we go to the market, and we go and see when we buy something, and if we check the ingredients, whether the ingredients have some gelatin, or some eggs, or some mono and diglycerides, right? Or some whatever prohibited things. If we are checking that, then definitely the kids, when they see, they will also. You can see it with their examples. You know, I'm talking about my experience. I never told my son to check. But since I was checking, he himself got this habit. Now, whenever he buys anything, he first checks the ingredients. So this is how the thing is. So leader, Acharya doesn't mean that you have to be some founder, Acharya of some organization. No, just being a parent is also being a leader. Being a teacher in school is also being a leader. Being a teacher in a Bhakti Vriksha or in a Sunday school is also a teacher, is a leader. Or leading a Bhakti Vriksha is also being a leader. So all these things, people who look forward to you, for them, yes, you are the leader. And then Mahaprabhu is saying that we have to behave properly. Only then they will be able to understand and they will follow the footsteps. The Srimad Bhagavatam says that one who should follow in the footsteps of great devotees, and only in that way one can progress on the path of spiritual realization. That's what our theory is. We don't concoct our ideas. By giving classes, or while even speaking about some philosophy on Krishna consciousness, we don't make up our own stories, right? We follow the Shastras. We give the evidence from Srimad Bhagavatam, from Bhagavad Gita, and from Chaitanya Charitamrita. We follow the Acharyas. We follow the present Guru Vargas. We follow Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentaries. We follow Baladev Vidyabhushan commentaries. We follow all these Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and Jiva Goswami commentaries. If we are not following them and we are simply giving the classes from our own mental concoction, then that is not right. Right? So when we are giving evidences, we are giving pramans from all these various wonderful authors, wonderful teachers, the acharyas of our Krishna consciousness movement, only then, you know, whatever we'll be preaching will hold some value, right? So we are following this path. Mahajana Yenantata Sapanta. Just by following all these Mahajans, these Acharyas, we can realize the truth as well as be able to impart the right knowledge to others. So that's why, you know, it is very necessary for the serious students of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is, I'm reading from one of the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam, where it says that it is very necessary for the serious students of Srimad Bhagavatam to follow the notes and comments of the great acharyas like Jiva Goswami and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. To those who are not the devotees of the Lord, the comments and explanations of such acharyas may appear to be just the grammatical jugglery. But to the students who are in the line of disciplic succession, the explanations of the great acharyas are quite perceptive. So this is from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 4, Verse number 28, one of the purport. So this is how, when we progress, then only we can know the absolute truth. We can understand the science of Krishna consciousness. Now, here comes the Shastras, right? And also we talked that we have to follow our present Guru Vargas, because they have received this knowledge from their predecessors, Acharyas, right? So what does this Guru mean? Why? Because this Guru, he knows the right understanding of the absolute truth, right? He knows this. And therefore, he is known as a Guru, right? So Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. So these three things we have to understand. The Shastras, basically, they are the direction given by Krishna. That is known as Shastras, right? And those who don't follow the Shastras, he's saying that you will not get anything. Na param gatim, right? Na sukham, na param gatim. So everything must be executed under the guidance of a Guru, not just whimsically. So Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Right? We have to follow all these three. Only then we will be able to progress in our spiritual life. A Guru means one who follows the Shastras and Sadhu. So these are the three. Guru, Sadhu, Shastra, Vakya, Teenate, Kariya, Akya. So only by following these three personalities, the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, we can progress in our spiritual life. And that is what does it mean that Mahajana Yeta Gatasa Samthak. We have to follow. So this is the verse. Moving on to the next verse, 58, it says, Shri Krishna Chaitanya Vani Amritara Dhara Tino Yeka Haya Vastu Sai Tattva Sara. So the words of Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are a shower of nectar. Whatever he concludes to be the ultimate truth is indeed the summum bonum of all spiritual knowledge. So this is what Prakashananda Saraswati talks. Prakashananda Saraswati is now glorifying Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that the words of Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are just a nectar, a shower of nectar, amrita dhara, and whatever conclusions he has given is the summum bonum of all the spiritual knowledge. Why? Because now he himself is so much attached to the knowledge that is being given by Mahaprabhu that he is now, you know, himself propounding that philosophy that yes, one should follow the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, after hearing, we all know that in that assembly of Prakashananda Saraswati, there was a Maharashtra Brahmin, right? That's how this pastime begins. So after hearing all these statements from Prakashananda Saraswati, that Maharashtra Brahmin felt very jubilant and he immediately went to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to inform what all happened in that assembly, how Prakashananda Saraswati was glorifying you and your Vedic conclusions. So when this Maharashtra Brahmin went to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord there was going to the temple of Bindu Madhava after bathing in the waters of Panchanada. So there, when he went, that Maharashtra Brahmin went to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what he saw, that Lord, after bathing in the waters of Panchanada, he was going to the temple of Bindu Madhava. And while the Lord was on his way, the Maharashtra Brahmin informed him about the incident that took place in the camp of Prakashananda Saraswati. So he saw Lord and he informed everything to the Supreme Lord, to Mahaprabhu, and that what all happened in the camp of Prakashananda Saraswati. In hearing all this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became very, very happy. And then finally, they both reached to the temple of Bindu Madhava. Actually, there were more people also. So when they reached the temple of Bindu Madhava, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeing the beauty of the Lord of Bindu Madhava, he became overwhelmed with an ecstatic love. And then he began to dance in the courtyard of that temple. So now we'll see, what is this temple about? Who is the Lord Bindu Madhava? And where it is situated? And why Mahaprabhu, when he saw the beauty of the Lord, of the Bindu Madhava Lord, he became so jubilant and he started dancing in the courtyard of this temple. So we all know that we are in Varanasi right now, right? That's what the chapter is entitled. The residents of Varanasi became Vaishnavas. There only this Maharashtra Brahmin was present in the assembly of Prakashananda Saraswati, and he saw that how Prakashananda Saraswati was glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And finally he came to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to tell all that what he heard in that camp, and how he's so happy with how Prakashananda Saraswati became a devotee. So we are in Varanasi. So in Varanasi, actually, there is a very old temple. So Bindu Madhava temple basically is the oldest temple of Lord Vishnu in Kashi. In Kashi, presently known as Varanasi. So the three presiding the three presiding deities of Kashi are Lord Vishwanath, who is Lord Shiva, Lord Kala Bhairav, and Lord Bindu Madhav. These are the three presiding deities of Kashi, presently known as Varanasi. And devotees who visit Kashi, they are well aware of this temple of Lord Vishwanath and Lord Kala Bhairav. However, the temple of Lord Bindu Madhava is not very popular, is not well known. And it is normally visited by just few devotees, not by everyone. But actually, it's a fact of this pilgrimage of Kashi, of this Varanasi, that your pilgrimage to Kashi is incomplete if you have not taken the darshan of Lord Madhava, of Lord Bindu Madhava. So yes, since Vishwanath and Lord Vishwanath and Lord Kala Bhairav, they are very prominent, but still, it is a truth, it is a saying rather, that the pilgrimage of Varanasi, the pilgrimage of Kashi is incomplete without taking the darshan of Lord Bindu Madhava. This temple of Lord Bindu Madhava in Varanasi, it is basically in the small house-like temple, which is situated on the banks of River Ganga at the Panchanada Ghat, Panchaganga Ghat. Remember, like we read, that how when Maharashtra Brahman went to see Mahaprabhu, what he saw, that Lord was going to the temple of Bindu Madhava after taking bath in the waters of Panchanada. So what is this Panchanada? Is that there are five rivers that they are flowing, and that's what it is known as Panchaganga Ghat. So the five rivers are Yamuna, Ganga, Saraswati, Kirana, and Dhutapa. These are the Panchaganga that flows basically under the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord Bindu Madhava. And there, that is also known as Panchaganga Ghat or Panchanada. In Bengali it is said. So there, Mahaprabhu took his bath and then he went forward to see Bindu Madhava in his temple. So these are the five rivers that I just want to mention. So this deity of Lord Bindu Madhava is very attractive. And this is a self-manifested, this is a Swayambhu Shaligram Vigraha, right? And this deity of Bindu Madhava is in the form of Vishnu. You can send the picture, just give me a moment so that you all can see. It's a very beautiful picture. I can send it to the group. Sorry for this. I have not sent it before. So I'm sending it to the group. You can refer to it. So this deity, this is in the form of a Vishnu holding the four things, right? What Krishna, what Vishnu holds. And it's a four-handed Narayan form, basically, holding a conch, which is known as Panchajanya. Then Chakra, which is known as Sudarshan, then Padma, that is a lotus flower, and then a club, that is Kamodaki, that's the name. So this is a temple of Vishnu, the four-handed Narayana form. And since he is always with Lakshmi, there is also a deity of goddess Lakshmi. That's how the Lord Bindu Madhava is. So therefore his name is Madhava. The meaning of Madhava, Ma means Lakshmi and Dhava means husband. So one who is the husband of the goddess of fortune is known as Madhava. So actually how he got the name Bindu, we'll see now, that once there was a great sage, his name was Agni Bindu Rishi. So he was engaged in some penance and worship of Lord Vishnu on the banks of river Gandaki in Muktinath, which is situated in Nepal. So we all know there in Nepal, in Muktinath, there the river Gandaki flows, right? So to this, you can just refer to the pastime, how Vinda, basically how Tulsi, when she was married, to Shankachuda, and Shankachuda was invincible. It was very difficult to defeat Shankachuda. And Shankachuda was in the fight with Lord Shiva. We all know the story, right? But just referring to it in short, that he was engaged in the fight of with Lord Shiva. And there, Vishnu comes disguised as Shankachuda in front of Vrinda, in front of Tulasi Devi, and requested. And basically, they both got intimate. He broke the chastity of Tulasi, because there was a boon that was given by Shankachuda that he will be invincible in the war till the time his wife is chaste to him. So it was very difficult to break the chastity. So Vishnu came in disguise of Shankachuda and told that I have won over this battle with Lord Shiva. And then finally they both got intimate. But so then her chastity was broken. She came to know that there Shankachuda was defeated, and then she came to know that Shankachuda is dead, her husband is dead. So she just told that, who are you? And then Vishnu came into his own form, that I am Vishnu. And then finally, you know, she cursed and told that you become a stone because you are such a stone-hearted. Yes, I do worship you, but you broke my chastity. And so I just cursed you to become a stone. So there he became a shaligram, right? He became a stone, which is known as a shaligram shila. And then he finally told that since you have always desired to become my better half, you have always desired that I should become your husband. So I tell you that I will be there. You will be in form, your whole body will be formed and will be transformed into the river Ganga. Gandaki. Your body will be transformed in the river Gandaki, and I will present in the shores of river Gandaki as Shaligram Shila. And your hair will become the sacred plant, the tulsi plant that we worship every day. So this is how the tulsi, you know, she also melts before going back to her spiritual abode. She basically, her body got transformed into that river Gandaki, and her hairs became the leaves of tulsi plant. So this Shaligram Shila, till now, can only and only be found onto the banks of river Gandaki, which is flowing in Muktinath, situated in Nepal. So coming back to the story of Bindu Madhava, so that Rishi, that Agni Bindu Rishi, he was basically worshipping Lord Vishnu on the banks of river Gandaki. And there, Lord Vishnu, being very pleased with his austerities, with his penance, he just blessed the Rishi. He came and he blessed the Rishi with the boons and instructed him to install his deity in Kashi. That's what he instructed. And he also instructed that the deity be consecrated by sage Agni Bindu, and with the name taken, the half of the Rishi's name Bindu, and the other half, because he is present with Lakshmi Devi, lords his own name Madhava. And so since then, the deity was called as Bindu Madhava. It's a very beautiful deity. And it is also said some places that some devotees also believe that this deity was basically installed by Indra in order to atone for his sin of killing Vritrasura. That's another pastime. We all know that how he killed Vritrasura by his thunderbolt, which was made from the bones of Badichi Muni. So he killed Vritrasura. And since Vritrasura was a devotee, so Indra got this thing that, you know, he killed a Vaishnava, because when Vritrasura was leaving his body, he was reciting the mantras, he was praying to Lord Krishna. So he came to know that he is a Vaishnava. So to atone for his sin of killing Vritrasura, this Indra, basically he went to a place and he did his austerities and penances for 10,000 years. And there, you know, it is also said that he installed not only Lord Bindu Madhava, but he installed the five Madhavas in the five places. And that is what is known as this, the Bindu Madhava in Varanasi, that is in Kashi, then Veni Madhava in Prayag, then Setu Madhava in Rameshwaram, then Kunti Madhava in Sitapuram near Kakinala, and also Sundar Madhava in Thiruvananthapuram. So these, it is, again, I don't know, don't ask me some right reference to it, but just, you know, it is that these five Pancha Madhava Kshetras are there, and it is a saying that Indra himself installed these five deities of Lord Madhava just to atone his sin of killing Vritrasura. So what happened? Now we'll come back to our Chaitanya Charitamrita. So upon reaching to this temple of Bindu Madhava, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeing the beauty, became overwhelmed in ecstatic love, and then he began to dance in the courtyard of the temple. So he was not alone. There were four people accompanying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And who were they? They were Chandrasekhara, Paramananda Puri, Tapana Mishra, and Sanatan Goswami. So these all were there along with Mahaprabhu. And they all started chanting Hare Krishna mantra, and they all started dancing. So now which mantra they chanted, that's explained in the next verse, text 64. Haraye Namah Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Gopal Govinda Rama Srimadhusudana. They chanted Hari Haraye Namah Krishna Yadavaya Namah Gopal Govinda Rama Srimadhusudana. That's a famous verse we also sing, that is by Narottam Das Thakur. Hari Haraye Namah Krishna Yadavaya Namah Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namah Gopal Govindaram Srimadhusudan Giridhari Gopinath Madana Mohan. So they were simply chanting this bhajan in front of Bindu Madhava, and they were dancing. And hearing this in all directions, hundreds and thousands of people came, and they also started to chant Hari Hari. And thus, after this, there rose a tumultuous and auspicious sound that filled the entire universe. And after hearing this, such a loud sound by so many people chanting the name of Hari Hari, Prakashananda Saraswati, who was just staying nearby, he heard this chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and then after hearing, he just can't stop himself, and he took his disciples and he immediately came to see the Lord. And here we'll stop our discussion. Now what happened to Prakashananda Saraswati when he saw the Lord dancing in the courtyard of Bindu Madhava, that we'll see from tomorrow, from the verse number 60. So thank you all so much for all your patiently listening, and we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Very nice it was going, but you stopped suddenly. Very, very nice. Very beautiful class, Mataji. Very sweet, short, and very, very nice. I actually always had this confusion if Veni Madhava and Bindu Madhava were the same. But I think you clarified that today, saying that they are at different places and different duties. Thank you so much, Mataji, for the very sweet class. I really like the class very much. Hare Krishna. No questions.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Krishida Sundari Mataji, Koti Koti Dandvat Panam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. How nicely narrated today's class, that what should our mood, Mataji, and we should, whatever we prepare, any lectures or anything, that is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, and Six Goswami, and our Guru Parampara. Without that mercy, we are not qualified to do any seva, Mataji. But sometimes, Mataji, my question
very
is that,
true.
That
very true.
Koti koti dhanyavad pranam to your sincere seva, Mataji. And you explained such a nice story of Shishi Govardhana that is in entering the Gandaki River, Shishi Shaligrama. Mataji, my question is that sometimes unconsciously we hurt the Vaishnava, like the senior teachers, I explaining that can you please sing Vaishnava song, because from childhood I learned we worship Laddu Gopal Shishi Srinath ji, so my dad is given a classical training and the special told to the my Sangeet teacher that only and only Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani Bhajan teach to my daughter. So Mataji, I learned, I am so much attached with the bhajana and Vaishnava song, and by Gopinath mercy get a such a strong association of senior Vaishnava and all Maharaj, whether it's Bhaktivinoda Maharaj, Bhaktichar Maharaj, Gopakrishna Maharaj, Niranjan Maharaj, Bibi Govind Maharaj. So Mataji, whenever I hear the Vaishnava song from pure Vaishnava, all senior teachers, I just become dance in my home, Mataji, and so happy. Like me, so many Vaishnavis are become happy. But Mataji, somewhere else I am wrong, because that preacher is not ready for that Vaishnava song, and suddenly I ask. So unconsciously I make an aparad, Mataji. Today some Vaishnavi will correct me and I feel very bad that unconsciously I hit the senior Vaishnava. That lotus, because of that lotus feet Braj, we become a little bit qualified in Shishi Radha Gopinath. Guys, Mataji, please forgive me. I always bothering you. Please sing the Vaishnava song, Vaishnava song. Mataji, the bhav, the mood is very important of senior Vaishnava. Please forgive me. Koti koti dhanyavad pranam to your seva. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. And thank you so much. So there is nothing to feel bad about it, Mataji. The point, I don't know what all happened with you, but what exactly I feel is that, yes, the Vaishnava Bhajan, they are the essence of all our philosophy. These Vaishnavas, whether it's Narottamdas Thakur, whether it's Lochandas Thakur, whether it's Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, you can name any, right? These acharyas, when they write this Vaishnava bhajan, these bhajans when they write, they take the essence of all the philosophy in that bhajan. And they are sometimes in the mood of prayers also. Right? So there is definitely immense benefit of singing Vaishnava bhajan. And also there is immense benefit of understanding that, because that's a kind of a prayer that we can offer to our dear Lordship. But at the same time, since you are saying that somebody corrected you, I don't want to bring up that point. But the point is that, yes, sometimes when we call those speakers, from outside, whether they are from India or some, reputed, well-known speakers, then definitely since their time constraint is such that after giving 40-45 minutes of class, it's very much hard for them, because they have to address some question also. And then after that, again, singing the bhajan means another 10-12 minutes. So they are very constrained on this time. But when it comes to only singing, I've seen that even my Guru Maharaj, he starts his class, or maybe sometimes ends his class, by singing a Vaishnava bhajan. But there it depends that he makes the class short, right? Because if the time goes on and on, then it's very difficult, because we are the Kaliyogi Baddha Jivas, right? It's very difficult to sit for too long if the class goes on and on and on and on. Right? So that's the point, that when we call those speakers, when those speakers are invited, sometimes it is very, very difficult for them to cope up with the class as well as the Vaishnava bhajan. But yes, people like us, like me, or you can take Preeti Vilasini Mataji and Kalasada Mataji, we have all time, right? So after the class, we can definitely, you know, sing these bhajans, we can address this request, and that's open to others also. But yes, the basic class of the particular subject matter, whether it's Chaitanya Charitamrita or Srimad Bhagavatam, it's over, and now it's up to the listeners. They are more than welcome to exit, and they can more than welcome to log out. But we among ourselves can definitely address this. So that's how, you know, we should be little, you know, considerate about how the things are going. Sometimes the class itself takes so much time because the subject matter is so deep, and on top of that, question answers are there. So it takes quite a long time. So that's how, Mataji, we can take it in a positive way. And so sorry if you have any heartfelt feeling against any of the Vaishnavas.
No, Mataji, so, that is not point.
You know, I myself beg forgiveness.
I'm not saying anything to any Vaishnava, Mataji, but I am so happy when I hear the Vaishnava song. So I feel that I am bothering.
Yeah,
Vaishnava.
Because your mood is
not
so
understanding the
other
Vaishnava
feelings. Yeah. Mataji, your mood is very pure. And trust me, these Vaishnava songs have the real essence of our whole philosophy. Whole philosophy, whatever it is. Because, yes, it's good to read Chaitanya Charitamrita and it's good to read Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. That's what is being instructed to us by our Guru Vargas and Srila Prabhupada. We should read this. Hearing and reading is very, very important. This swadhyaya, this self-reading is very, very important. But at the same time, what is the use of this reading if we don't understand the essence of these scriptures and don't apply it in our life? And that comes when we really sing this Vaishnava bhajan. Even I aspire that when I leave this body, some of the Vaishnava bhajan may be in my mind and may be in my mouth so that I may recite it ever. So that's basically the essence.
Jai Ho.
So really, you know, appreciate your mood. Thank you so much. Definitely we'll sing today. But let's see if we have any other questions or comments.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dhanapanam. Mataji, I just have a few questions. Basically, this I mean, please correct me if I'm understanding right. So, Kapila was not the actual Kapila Mahajan we know of, right? And so these sages, Jaimini and Gautam and all, they are these actual sages, right? I mean, they're not
They are the sages, yeah, but Kapila is Mahajan. The Kapila, who is the son of Devahuti, is the Mahajan. That's what it's mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah, but this Kapila, the Sankhya, which we are, you know, currently kind of going through, is not the same Kapila. That's what Prabhupada has told, right, in many of his
books. No. He is not. He is an atheistic couple.
Yes, Mataji. So the question I had was, these sages, these Gautama and Jaimini and all, in one way they were like kind of disciples of Srila Vyasadeva. You know, he actually divided the Vedas, right? And he gave each of these sages, you know, to take over and preach and things like that.
Who divided the Vedas?
The Vyasadeva.
Mataji, your voice is echoing.
He gave it to each of these disciples, right? I think Jaimini also, if I'm not wrong, he got one of the Vedas, you know, to preach or to work on, you know, things like that I have read. So I was wondering how come they have heard from Srila Vyasadeva and still they are into such a speculative business? Because
hearing, definitely, that's what I said. Just hearing, you know, will not help unless and until you follow in the footsteps of Vyasadeva, right? So yes, I'm not ignoring their that yes, they were great acharyas. They have the philosophical conclusions, whatever they made. But Prabhupada says that what is the point if they themselves are not fixed in their philosophy? When it comes to a debate, when it comes to an argument, they simply argue with their simple mental concoction. If their philosophy doesn't hold the base of understanding the Supreme Lord, of understanding the personality of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then their philosophy is baseless. So that's what Prabhupada is mentioning this point. Though they have been given these different areas by Srila Vyasadeva, but were they able to follow the instructions of Srila Vyasadeva? That's the point. If they cannot follow the footsteps of Srila Vyasadeva, that's why they're nowhere in our disciplic succession. Rather, they have been taken as a separate, you know, from giving some mental philosophical conclusions that we hardly go through it. Right? So, you know, according to my understanding is that yes, Prabhupada says that just by dry philosophy, by simply argument, we cannot, because their philosophy is baseless. Philosophy to understand that yes, the Supreme Lord is a person, he's a personality, if that is the basis, then yes, accept it.
Thank you, Mataji, for your explanation. Okay. It's typo. Can you hear me, Mataji?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, it's a little tough for me to fathom that Vyasadeva would give such a big responsibility to sages who don't even understand, or, you know, like you're saying, they're still having tatka and pratishtha and things like that. So it's a little difficult for me to get that point. But thanks so much, Mataji, for your answer, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, and Mataji, I just want to add, besides whatever Kita Sundari Mataji said, which is correct, that of course they do not follow in the footsteps of Mahajans, there is also another point here, Mataji, that actually Vyasa taught the four Vedas to four of his disciples. The Rig Veda was given to Paila Rishi, Atharva Veda was given to Sumantu, yeah, Samaveda was given to Jaimini, and Yajurveda was given to Vaishampayana Rishi. Now, Samaveda was given to Jaimini Rishi, but what is Samaveda? They are definitely ritual books meant for making certain rituals. And Jaimini wrote the Purva Mimamsa. Purva Mimamsa is full of rituals of these things. So what he taught was only this, right? So these four people, they didn't follow in the footsteps of Vyasadeva to further inquire about the Vedanta and understand from the point of Srimad Bhagavatam, which Vyasadeva himself much later realized by the mercy of Narada Muni. And he himself wrote the, you know, Bhagavatam in the right perspective later. So it was just a particular section that was learnt by these sages. And Gautama Kannada anyhow don't fall into this four. So I think there the problem will be solved.
Very well. Thank you so much, Preeti Vilasi Mataji, for adding that. Also, you know, I'll read from one of the purports of Srila Prabhupada, where he says that all five kinds of these philosophers, they are mentioned above, basically they understand that the impersonal Brahman is without material qualities, and they believe that when the personality of Godhead appears, he is contaminated and covered by the material qualities. So see the basis of their philosophy. What is the use of it? They are simply saying that the Supreme Lord is basically impersonal Brahman, and he is contaminated and covered by the material qualities. Such kind of philosophy doesn't hold any base. So this is not me, this is Prabhupada writing in one of the purport in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, as Mataji said, Preeti Vilasi Mataji added, there is no basis to their philosophy. So,
thank you so much, both of you, for explaining that. According to what Preeti Mataji says, it appears that even Vyasa didn't have an idea when he gave this to, when he gave these two tasks to his four disciples. So, thanks. I really appreciate your inputs, Mataji. But I think it will take me some time to digest the fact. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Do you have any question or comment?
Hare Krishna, Kirtida Sundari Mataji. Very, very beautiful, very informative class, Mataji. Thank you so much. Mataji, I have a question. Like you're talking about all these sages who have to create their own, their own line of thought, so that they are different and they are considered as, I think even in the Bhagavad Gita, they're called munis then, right? My question is, okay, so everyone has so many, at least practically, this is what I'm experiencing, and everyone has so many different belief systems, so many different ritualistic procedures that they also want to follow, and sometimes the people are desperate for results, and so they go to any one of the gods, thinking that they are all at the same level. They're not thinking, that there is only one supreme and we need to surrender. So what is the most easiest and most best way to explain this single God concept for people, for people from a Hindu background? Did you follow my question, Mataji?
Yes, Hindu Mataji, right?
Yes, Mataji.
Hindu Mataji, right?
Yes, Mataji.
Okay, so let me frame your question like what I understood. You are saying that yes, there are different philosophers, there are different philosophies, but some people, they find themselves so desperate and they just follow one of these philosophies and they follow these philosophers. So how we can tell them and bring them to Krishna consciousness? Is it this question?
Yes, yes, yes. And then, so even back home, if you okay. see, we do ritualistic procedures for all gods, right? We have no distinction there. It's like, okay, do this for Surya, you do this for Ganesha, all of that. Yeah, so that's...
Yes. So, thank you, Indu Mataji, for your question. even I was in the same boat. We are from North India, worshipping everybody. I used to have a temple, me as such personally, but my in-laws, when they have this temple in their home, they'll have everybody, Lord Shiva, Ganesha, Parvati, then Vaishnavi, and then Lord Shri Krishna, Radha, everything. We worship everything, no discrimination. All of us going to take the same destination. That was the philosophy that we used to follow. But again, the point is, the more we come into the association of devotees, the more we get to know that what is the real absolute truth. When we used to have the temple at home, it was so crowded. I should say crowded. I'm sorry for using this word. But because there was no proper understanding that why and whom we are worshipping to. This philosophy of Krishna consciousness, which is given by Srila Prabhupada, is not something whimsical. See, it's a science. We should understand. Even Prabhupada used to say, don't have a blind faith. Blind faith has no space in Krishna consciousness. Having a faith, not a blind faith. Right? So even if you have some doubt of this philosophy of Krishna consciousness, come and talk to the devotee. That's what Prabhupada used to say. Come and talk to me. Come and talk to the devotee. Why? Because just don't blindly accept whatever I'm saying. Because he was so valid, because he was saying that I have the proof for everything. And that's what happened. When we came into Krishna consciousness, it was very hard to accept all that. It was very hard to remove all those pictures from the temple. It was very hard because we were thinking, what will happen? This Lord Shiva will get angry, Vaishnavi will get angry, Vaishnava Ma will get angry, Ganesha will get angry. But when we come to the right truth, the right understanding, then we can take up the right step. Now, there you are saying that it's very hard for the others who are really desperate. We can try to explain them. There are so many newcomers that come to Bhakti Riksha, that come to the temple. First day, we just don't go and propound our philosophy to them, that this is what the philosophy, remove everything. No. It is said that when you are throwing someone from a mountain, at least give them the parachute. So there, worshipping to different demigods, considering as God, is a parachute for them. So let them flow through their parachute. Let them do it. Don't take away their parachute. Don't try to propagate your philosophy on them on the very first day. Right? And there it comes with the prasadam. Give them books. Prabhupada say, your 2 minutes discussion, one of the quote I was reading a few months back, he was mentioning that your 2 minute discussion with a new person, with a beginner, with a new devotee, will not help them. Not help them. They'll forget and they'll walk away. Either they'll forget and walk away, or they will somehow, you will be the medium of their decline in spiritual life because they will take offense. So your 2 minutes talk won't help. Rather, your 2 minutes talk of building a relationship with them, that will help. Or give them a book or give them the prasadam. Let the book and prasadam work their magic. And then slowly, when they are so much attracted towards the book and prasadam, the philosophy comes. And then slowly and slowly, you know, they can get the right understanding. But yes, your point that sometimes people do get and they do follow, let them, seriously, let them follow. Even Krishna says, those who follow the demigods, I am the one who is situated in the heart of that living entity, facilitate that person, that living entity, to go ahead and do it. Because let them do it. At least they'll come on to the right moral values. Let them come on to the right moral values. This Krishna consciousness is a plane that you have to board from an airport, and that airport is coming on to the mode of goodness. So those so-called Hindu people, the word Hindu doesn't exist, but so-called, quote-unquote, those Hindu people, if they are following something, let them follow, because that will bring them to the airport of the mode of goodness, from which they can really board the plane of Krishna consciousness and can move on to the transcendental destination. So that's how it works. First day, no, it won't. It won't work. But yes, the miracle, the mercy of prasadam and the miracle, the words written in the books will work. So this is how, you know, it works, because it worked for me. And so through an experience, I can say that, yes, this philosophy works. Hope I was able to answer.
Yes, Mataji, that was very beautiful. Definitely, hoping like prasadam helps us and progress and try to see Krishna consciousness in a new light. One more question, Mataji, was that, at home, this is not just in our home, like home temple, but I'm saying, as a family, we have a temple. And it's very common, like on my father's side, their family has a temple. Mother's side, mother's father has a temple. Mother's mother's family has a temple. So all of those temples, I don't know why, but all of them are Kali, Durga, you know, Devi temples. And we have to continue maintaining those temples also. So how do we justify that and this together? Like, it's a direct conflict, or maybe not even a conflict. There's a better way to do it. Like, we can worship Kali as the, or Devi as the servant of Lord Krishna.
Yeah. So, yes, Mataji. So this question was somehow, in a little bit, was answered by Hari Parshad Prabhu when he gave the beautiful class on the glories of Lord Shiva. And he was saying that if something is being carried from your generations, then you should please respect it. Okay? Because these demigods, this Ganesha, this Kali, this Vaishnavi, Lord Shiva, they are not the ordinary personalities. Please don't consider them the ordinary personalities. No, they are not. Right? They are some special personalities chosen by Lord Shri Krishna. That's why he nominated them. I should say, they nominated them in his ministry. So we should not disrespect them. That's for sure. And how to place them? Yes, if it comes to your in-law side or your mother's side, and if you cannot remove them from your temple, please don't do it. Because if you remove them, from your home temple, and if they feel bad, then that's it, the offense that they are making, right? When they are making some offense, that means their spiritual decline will happen. Their spiritual progress, you will be basically the medium of their spiritual progress. So don't take out anything. But at the same time, Bhagavatam says that what is the position of all these demigods is with your Guru Varga. That's the position. So while placing them in the temple, make sure that you have a kind of a step, higher step than the lower, the medium step and the lower step. So in the higher step, you can definitely place the Shaligram Shilas or Lord Shri Krishna, Gaur Nithai, Jagannath Balde, the Supreme Lord. Even if you have a Lord Vishnu or Lakshmi, yes, you can. And on the lower steps, you can place all these demigods along with those Guru Varga. So this is how, because Bhagavatam, I don't remember exact words, maybe somebody can help me with it, but it is said that all these demigods are equal to basically our Guru. Our Guru is basically is the sum total of all these demigods. I can look for that word, but there is a word in Srimad Bhagavatam where it mentions. So we know their place, right? We know their place. So you can place it onto that platform, but definitely don't remove them if it gives some kind of heartfelt feelings to your parents or to whomsoever, some elders. If they are not happy with it, then please don't remove it. Okay. Like in Deepavali, I'll give you an example in Deepavali. You know, in the North Indian side, normally, you know, we worship Ganesha and Lakshmi. Now, only Lakshmi and only Ganesha. Now, when Diwali comes, you know, now I do have an understanding that what are we supposed to do on Deepavali, right? But since Deepavali is basically inviting Lord Ram. That's how this tradition started. But when we are worshipping this, and when we are basically celebrating Diwali, there is no picture of Lord Ram. Nobody worships Lord Ram. Who is the main cause of this festival? Nobody worships. They are worshipping just Lakshmi and Ganesha to remove the obstacles, the material obstacles from our life, and finally to bestow all kinds of wealth. But this is now how it is. But when I, after understanding, we know that what are we supposed to do it. But since, you know, my in-laws, they still prefer that I should worship their traditional way. Right? I just cannot leave that. So, okay, what I did is, yes, you are more than welcome to worship Ganesha. You are more than welcome to worship Lakshmi Devi. But at the same time, I used to take an, because we used to take an idol, the Mitti Ki Murti, right, of Ganesha and Lakshmi. Along with that, just take a deity of the murti of even Narayan. Worship Lakshmi with Narayan. Without Narayan, if you are worshipping Lakshmi, Miss Lakshmi will never be happy because she never leaves, never ever leaves the lotus feet of Lord Narayan. Never ever. So just worship Lord. Include, don't take out, don't take the things out from your standard, but just include a higher standard. So if you include that in the same way, you are worshipping Lakshmi Devi or worshipping Ganesh, but just include the Murti, the worship of Lord Narayan. So that solves the purpose. So this is how, you know, as Krishna says, Tesham Satata Yuktana Bhajatam Chiti. I give the intelligence. How you are going to do it, you know, it depends upon situation to situation. But yes, Krishna gives the intelligence of how we can do our thing also, and at the same time, don't let other people get hurt of it. Hopefully that answers.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Yes. No, we don't have any pictures or deities of the family goddesses at home. And yeah, I don't think we would have that normally. But we do like festivals and the pujas, yeah. And we have to go there and, you know, follow all the family rituals. Yes.
Yeah. There is no harm, Mataji, there is no harm in doing it, but the mood should be on. See, activities doesn't matter. If you are worshipping Kali, right, who is she? She's a Vaishnavi, right? She's a Maya Devi. We have to respect her because she is the one who is going to help us to take home back to Garden. Though she can put lot of tests on us, That's what her business is, right? Maya's business is to test the devotees. So we can at the same time pray to her that please, yes, I am here, but my still prayer is that please give me Krishna Bhakti so that I can pass all the tests you put forward towards me. See, the mood, the consciousness, whenever you go to such a place, what is your consciousness is that what matters. That's what Prabhupada said. It's Krishna consciousness, not Krishna activity. Go ahead, even if you have a Shiva temple, you please go ahead and bow down. If you have a Kali or a Vaishnavi temple, please go ahead and bow down. But what are you asking for? That is what depends. That's how, what the mood in which mood you are approaching them. If you are approaching Lord Shiva, he's Ashutosh. If you are approaching Lord Shiva, please give me Krishna Bhakti. And he is the one who is going to bestow that Yugandri Padme. You know, that Yugal Kishore lotus feet, he is the one who is going to give you. So if we go and ask in that mood, then of course there is no harm. They'll basically facilitate us in our journey to Lord Shri Krishna. They are the one who is going to facilitate us. So ask for those facilitations. Ask that, you know, that kind of boon, that kind of benediction.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Such a fantastic answer. So yes, yes. It's all based on our consciousness, not Krishna activities. So yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Mataji.
Mataji, can I add something to Mataji's question, Mataji?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yes, yeah, Mataji, this is from what I have seen, personally speaking, my Guru Maharaj, he does not allow deity worship, even our Sampradaya deities, until one is Brahman initiated. So I'm thinking, like Kirtida Mataji quoted from, told that Hari Parshad Prabhu quoted from Shastras, it is very nice, but you know, we have to also follow our Guru's instructions. So I think the best thing you would want to do is like talk to your Guru and see if he's okay. Also, you know, in London, when Mataji had one big Durga Mata, you know, deity, and she wanted to worship. Like you said, it was a family tradition. And her guru was Gopal Krishna Maharaj, and he allowed, he said, but put the deity on another altar, separate altar, a little away from the main altar, like that. And another instance I saw was once when Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj was visiting one of the devotees' house for a home program. They had like these small murtis, you know, like, I don't know, in India they put us even like show pieces, like murtis in a plate, you know, like small Ganesha murtis, like that. So they had put, so Bhakti Vikas Swami Maharaj, he took all the murtis, put them in his bag. He said, I'll take care of these people for you. You just take care of your Krishna. They had Radha Krishna deities too. So he said, just worship them and I'll take care of them for you. He took them away. So it so much depends on the mood of your Guru Maharaj too. And I mean, it's good to follow Shastra, but more closely to follow our Guru, you know, what their desire is. I also know of some Gurus like who want their disciples to have Gauranitai deities at home even before they even start chanting, even as soon as they start chanting, you know, like they recommend that. So the mood of the Guru is so important. But like I said, personally, my Guru Maharaj, he would not allow it. He said, you worship pictures for now. I mean, I'm not Brahmin initiated, but then he said, if you so much want to worship deities, then you need to take Brahman Diksha. That's what he personally advised me. I just wanted to share, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Anyone else has any questions? Any comments?
Hare Krishna, Kirtida Sundari Mataji, Koti Koti Kanti. I just want to add little two points. Ask question by Indu Mataji, and very nicely you explained, practically explained. Before marriage, I followed the Laddu Gopal Shri Radha Madan Mohan. So when I came to Mumbai, there is a Haveli, Shri Radha Madan Mohan, small Laddu Gopal. About them, there is a I hear the Kishori Mataji's Kartal, so I just went there and
I just hear the Krishna Katha, Krishna Katha, Krishna Katha. I know that first 3 years, Mataji, in front of my Ajay Kishori Mataji, I chant Shri Krishna Sharanam, my Mahamantra, whatever I follow from childhood. And Kishori Mataji is right. She never forced me that do Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And I prepare, I know only one thing, to prepare lots of prasadam. So I prepare lots of prasadam for the Bhagavad Gita class, and she is also coming in because there is a restriction to go outside. So she comes in our home and taking class. Mataji, it's going on from 3, 4, 5, 6 months. After that, I start 2, 4, 6, 8, and it takes 3 years to come 16 round, Mataji. But in the meantime, I told my Kishori Mataji, I want Sri Sigourney Thai my home. So she said, yes, okay, okay. She asked Ajay Radhanath Maharaj, and then after 1 year, Sri Sigourney Thai will installed by Kishori Mataji. So Mataji, yes, when we preach the Vaishnava, not first day, second day, we will change their mind. It's by mercy of Srimati Radharani Pratidevi Tulsi Maharani that Vaishnavi or Vaishnava start Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hari Bol, Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam. Thank you very much. How nice for you explain all the question answer. At present, my Prabhupada is worship Hanumanji. So there is a Hanumanji in our altar. So so somehow he is doing I cannot say that keep Hanumanji in the other place welcoming and worship Hanumanji also. Sometimes he requests to go Hanumanji temple. So he is also such a big Vaishnava. And Mataji, in a Diwali time, they worship only Lord Ganesha and Lakshmi Maharani. So that is traditional in our Hindu family. So, but that is only for 4 days, so we have to accept it. Thank you, Mataji. How nicely you explain whatever we have a doubt, you clear it very nicely. Koti koti dhanvat pranam. And one more thing, Mataji, now I understand 80% your lecture. Koti koti dhanvat pranam.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Linda. Thank you for sharing. And yes, Hanumanji is he's epitome of Sadasya Bhav. So there is no harm in worship of Hanuman. There is really no harm. But again,
at least he starts to go temple.
Yeah. Okay, so it's already 12:23. We'll honor Vrinda Gopika Maitri's request, and then we'll end up the call. And for tomorrow, we have to start from that number.
Actually, tomorrow, seeing you are tired.
So I'll sing the same type. No, I'm perfectly okay. So we'll sing the same bhajan that Mahaprabhu, along with his parshad, that is Paramananda Puri Patan Mishra and Sanatan Goswami, they were singing in the temple of Bindu Madhavan. We'll sing the same bhajan and then we'll end up.
Hariharaya Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha Gopal Govindiram Shri Madhusudhan Giridhari Gopinath Madana Mohan Shri Chaitanya Nityananda Shri Advaita Sita Hari Guru Vaishnava Bhagavad Gita Shri Rupa Sanatana Bhakta Raghunath Shri Jiva Gopal Bhakta Dhansu Raghuna Yei Chai Gosar Kori Charana Vanda Jata Hoite Bidhena Sadishtha Pura Yei Chai Gosai Jar Mui Parada Tita Bara Bada Renu Mura Pancha Gras Tadera Charana Sebi Bhakta Sane Vaas जन्मे जन्मे होइए अभिलाष हे चाई गोसाई जबे ब्रजे कोइला बा राधा कृष्ण नित्य लीला करिला प्रकाश आनंदे बोलो हरि भजन वृंदावन श्री गुरु वैष्णव पद महिमामन श्री गुरु वैष्णव पद पद्म खोरिया नाम संकीर्तन करे Shri Guru Vaishnava Pada Padma Koriya
नाम संकीर्तन
जय श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभु की जय नरोत्तम दास ठाकुर की जय श्री प्रभुपाद की जय
जय माता जी थैंक यू वेरी मच थैंक यू वेरी मच जय श्री राधे थैंक यू सो मच माता जी and thanks to all the devotees for coming on the call and giving us your valuable association. Thanks for the beautiful class and the very interesting discussion. We can now end the call. Vancha kalpataru vyascha kripa sindhu bhai vacha padidanam bhavane bhai vaishnave bhyo namah anta koti vaishnav vrinda ki jai shri prabhu pad ki jai shri chaitanya rata her grace kirti da sundari
sundari mata ji ki
hari bol
gaur bhakta vrind ki
Thank you, Mataji. Dandavat pranam.
Thank you to all the Matajis. Hare Krishna.